I'm going to look at a few things this morning. I hope that will hopefully help us be more optimistic in our outlook on different things. The last time I spoke, it was between this lesson and another one, and I forewent this one, and it turns out this one is fairly appropriate for the past week that we've had. You know, certainly all of us are disappointed in our government this week. We're disappointed in the things that have been put toward and been legitimized by the decisions that have been made. But we have to press forward. We cannot get stuck in a mire plagued by these things. You know, I saw someone's response to it, and it says, we've got to get past the fact that we want the government to fight our battles for us as Christians. And I think that's a legitimate response to what we've seen. We can't expect that. God's never promised us that. He's never given it to any other nations around the world. And we can't expect it either. We deal with things on a daily basis that are supposedly or may be legitimized by our government and the dealings that they have. But we don't think much about that because that's the way it's been. You know, I think Chase Palmer gave a pretty accurate view. He said, you know, when you watch the news, all you're doing is watching a window on the world turning further and further from God. And that's a sad statement. Journalism was put into place to keep government in check. And unfortunately, what we see on a daily basis is these people moving us further and further away from God. We're disappointed by that, and rightly so. But we cannot expect them to shield us from the things of this world. There are things inherent to this world that God said that we would deal with. And we will make the decision whether or not we'll serve God or we'll serve man. We want to start this morning with a passage in Genesis 18. We're all familiar with this passage dealing with Sodom and Gomorrah. It's not new. I'm sure you expected to hear this on a sermon of this nature. But I want us to notice some things in these passages and realize that these things aren't new. They're not new. And when we look at our society and we look around and we see that these things, we think it's terrible. Nobody's ever dealt with this. You know, it's harder to be a Christian than it ever has been. And that's not true at all. These people dealt with things. And they were faced with things that they didn't necessarily like to deal with. But it was placed on them to do it, and they were expected to make the right decisions. You know, I was talking this morning with Deidre. She said, what are you going to talk on? I said, well, we're going to talk on optimism through Christ, and we're talking a little bit about Sodom and Gomorrah. She said, you know, I guess we're just living in it now, aren't we? And many of us have made that statement. We felt like that at times. But when you actually step back and look at the situation that these people were in, we're far from that. We're blessed in this country. You know, our problem is we're spoiled. We have been sheltered by a lot of things for a lot of years, and it has been easy for us. But those times won't continue, not as long as we're going down the path we're on. We have to grow our faith. We have to make up our minds that we're going to deal with these situations in the way that God would have us to. Do we really understand the severity of how evil things were in this city? God destroyed an entire city. Can we understand the evil that was present in that city? I think as we look at that and as we consider it, we'll understand that things were most likely far worse than they are here as we look at this story. In Genesis 18, beginning in verse 22, we read here, and the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, and be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place of their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack five of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of five? And he said, if I find there 40 and five, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto them yet again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, O, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, O, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet this once. Peradventure shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left, communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned into this place. Now you see, Abraham's talking there with God, and he said, God, don't destroy the city. If I find just 50 people that are righteous in the city, will you spare the city? God said, yeah, I'll spare it for 50. You know, funny thing about God, he knows people's hearts. I think he knew good and well there weren't 50 within the city. He knew that before he spoke with Abraham. And he said, for 50, yeah, I'll spare the city. Well, we go all the way down, and the negotiations continue until it comes to 10. Just 10 righteous in an entire city. Now, I don't know how large Sodom and Gomorrah was. Maybe some of you do. But Wheeler, Texas is about 1,600 people. And I'd say we have probably about 90 to 100 people here. In a city of 1,600, we have 100 gathered here today. Now, are we living in a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah? I don't think so. I see a lot of good things that happen in this city, throughout our nation. Things that we don't necessarily see every day. Things that the media doesn't ever necessarily talk about. Those things. Those things don't make good headlines, do they? Those things don't catch a lot of eyes. To talk about someone doing for someone else. Someone putting someone else before themselves. That's not of great interest to a lot of people, is it? And so you won't see those things in the news. You won't see those things in the media. Because they don't make good stories. Now, from time to time, we'll see, and they'll try to put a more positive spin. A lot of times in the local media. And that's good. It's good for us to see those things. We need to understand there are good things going on. There are good things happening in the world. And when we think about God and Jesus and the things that he's done for us, you know, one thing that this congregation has started doing, we'll talk about baptisms that happen all over the country if we know of them. That's good because we understand those things are happening everywhere, but nobody talks about them. We do it here in this congregation because we know we can gain optimism through that. Through the gift that Christ has given us, we see optimistic views for people turning to God. But back in Sodom and Gomorrah, things were so evil. They couldn't even find 10 people that were righteous. And so God said he'd destroy the city. Continuing there in chapter 19, we'll read verses 1 through 5. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself and his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my Lord, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go in your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did break unleavened bread. And they did eat, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, surpassed the house round, both old and young, and the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. Now verse 5, it says that they may know them. We know that's used as a sexual term. These people weren't there to greet the newcomers into the city. That was not their intent. They were set on evil. And we continue reading verses 6 through 13. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you and do you as you see good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn. And he will needs be a judge Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou there any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Now, we can't imagine something like this, can we? You know, these people have come to Lot, and they've gone into his house, and these people from the city, they come out, and they want these people to come out unto them and do these ungodly things. And Lot said, no, don't do that. Don't do that to them. And they pushed Lot aside, and they pressed forward. And they were stricken with blindness. But that didn't stop them. Being stricken with blindness did not deter these people. They were so set on evil. That's bad, isn't it? I can't imagine being in a situation like that. You know, we had a meeting. We had several people from out of town. We've got some people from out of town here this morning. What if someone came to the door this morning and said, bring them out unto us. We're going to drag them out in the street. Can we imagine that? That's what happened in this situation. They said, bring them out unto us. And they were stricken with blindness, and that didn't even make them give up. That's a heart set on evil right there. Now, I don't care what I was doing. If I was stricken with blindness, I'd find a little something inside me that said, I better be doing something else. I might need to go see about this. Not these men. Their heart was set on evil. And that's a type of evil that I think none of us have ever seen. Yet we think, we've just got it so bad. Maybe we don't have it so bad. Now, I'm not going to say we're surrounded by good things and there's nothing evil that happens in the world. We know there is. It happens every day. But as far as us going day to day and living our lives, we don't face these types of things. We don't live in a city that's set on evil so that you don't even have 10 people that you could call righteous. That's not the society we live in. We have a better way. And we have optimism because of Jesus. We're gathered here in fellowship with one another. For what purpose? Because of Jesus. Because we have a hope of better things to come. There are many of examples of how evil things were at times. And another very common story we read, and we may overlook, is the story of Noah. When we think of the story of Noah, we have this little story that we tell the children, and that's fine, it's good. But I think we've kind of twisted that into the fact to sort of explaining that Noah went on some sort of vacation there. He gathered up all these animals, they got on a boat, and they stayed there for a while. What a great thing it was. Why was he on the ark? He was fleeing evil, because God told him to. That's why he was on the ark. It wasn't a choice that he made, and he thought this would just be a good idea. Because God had him flee evil. And he was willing to do it because he followed God. But somewhere in that story, we forget about that part. And you know, I'm not saying that we need to ingrain in children's minds about the details of how bad these things were. But when we think about the story of Noah, the whole story there was based on the fact that God was saving him from an evil place. In Genesis 6, we'll read here verses 5 through 12. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God, and Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's it. Only evil. Now, can we imagine a place like that? There are no other thoughts. It's just all evil. Every desire, every seat of mind, every intellect, and every purpose was set on evil. Now, I think about Wheeler, Texas, and I just don't think that describes Wheeler, Texas. I don't think that describes a lot of the cities that I've been to. I've been in congregations in other cities, and I don't think they dealt with that type of evil. Once again, I don't think that we live in a world where evil doesn't exist, and I don't think we turn a blind eye to that. But I just don't think that's the city that we live in. These examples don't really sound like the society we live in when you get right down to it. We have our problems. We face these problems. And with God, we can deal with these problems. But I don't think we live in the society that it describes here. There's a lot out there that a lot of us would not like to deal with. I'll be the first to say that. There's a lot of things that I would just really not like to deal with in this world. And from the things that go on in the office we work in to the degradation of society we see pushed on political agendas, it grows tiresome watching these things. And we do see things spiraling down continually. But we have to learn to deal with those things. We see that individuals can't push these agendas on people. When they can't push these agendas on people, they choose to get rid of God altogether. They take things that symbolize God out of the courtrooms. They want to remove the reference to God in our pledge. They would like to disface anything that has to do with God. Because of their hearts, because of the things that they push. But even in all of this, think of all the freedoms we enjoy that allow us to fellowship with one another and to worship God. We still enjoy those freedoms. Not all of God's people enjoyed that. Not all of them had that freedom. And we'll see an example in a minute where people fled. They feared for their lives, yet they continued to serve God. We're not in that situation today. We read of some horrible persecutions in the scriptures. And I hope there's never a time when any of us buy into the idea that the Bible's outdated. You know, some people say that. The Bible's just outdated. It doesn't deal with the way things are today. It couldn't be further from the truth. It may have a different look to it, society, but we deal with the exact same things. If you want to see societies that fell further and further from God, look no further than His Word. He described those things. He gave us examples of those things. He didn't hide that from us, and He didn't promise us a different way. We'll deal with certain things in our lives. But the thing I want us to concentrate on when you do look at these examples is the fact that God always took care of those that followed Him. He took care of those that chose to serve Him. And we'll read some scriptures here shortly that show it may not have been pleasant, but God was with the people who lived for Him. Possibly one of the most sickening things that to us in this society is the rampant use of abortions in this country. You know, when we think of evil and we think of a poor innocent child and that person being murdered, we can't imagine anything much more evil than that, can we? And we look at that and we think nothing's ever been worse than that. But we have an example in Jeremiah chapter 32 of something that is at least as evil as abortion. In Jeremiah 32, verses 32 through 35, because of all the evil of the children of Israel and of the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their prince, their priests, and their prophets, and the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and they have turned unto me the back and not the face. Though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. But they set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to defile it. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which I commanded them not, neither came it unto my mind. that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. You know, as we study the Old Testament, we see time and time again where the people turn from God. And we saw that. And when we look at the passages in Kings, and everything would be okay, and then they'd say, "We want a king, we want a king," and the king would come in, and what would happen? They'd get farther and further from God. And here we have a passage where it's talking about one of those very things. And it talks about I'm turning to Baal. And it speaks there of Molech. You'll see that one of the things people did when they turned to Molech and Chemosh, these gods that they have there, it was to sacrifice their children through fire. I can't imagine anything worse than that. What type of mindset does someone have to be in to sacrifice their children with fire? To throw them aside like that? You know, these very things existed at those times. They did exist. You know, it can be discouraging at times and even depressing to see how far our society's gotten from God. But the examples we've looked at so far from the Bible paint a picture that there's been times in history they were far worse than anything we see today. You know, the Hebrew writer recognizes this in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And as we read there, we see that it's almost like a motivational speech to these people. You know, he's writing there and he talks about all of these people of faith, all of these things that they dealt with, and how they had a strong faith to get them through these things. In Hebrews 11 and verse 4, he speaks of the faith of Abel and the sacrifice that he made out of faith. Verse 5, the faith of Enoch, who was translated because he pleased God. The faith of Noah that drove him to build the ark. The faith of Abraham, who went when he was called, not knowing where. In verse 11, the faith of Sarah, who bore a child beyond her years. In verse 21, Jacob, who worshipped even when he could hardly stand. And in verse 22, Joseph. 23, Moses. All of these names, characters in the Bible that we read when we think of examples of faith. These people faced things that they didn't necessarily want to in society. Yet they did it in faith. And they made it through. And on with the examples where faith delivered these people from situations, most of which we can't even fathom. Let's begin reading there in Hebrews verse 11. Verses 36 through 40. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. They were dressed in animal skins. They lived in dens, in caves. Because they wanted to serve God. And we think about these situations, we think, well, we got it pretty bad here. These people were fleeing for their lives because they served God. And what does it say about that? What is God's opinion of these type of people? It said, of whom the world was not worthy. You know, when we think about a humble existence like that, living in a cave or something, we can't think of anything much worse than that, can we? Well, we just think that how bad that would be to be in that situation. And, you know, certainly in their time, I'm sure they were not considered the social elites. Of course they weren't. But God's opinion of these people was the world was not worthy. All of the things that people value in this world, the riches that they see, the wealth that they have, the power that people may have, were not worthy of these people. That lived in dens just to serve God. They were not worthy. These people had faith in God through times we may never know. And I pray we don't. I pray we don't see these times. But there's nothing that tells us that it couldn't happen. When we become discouraged by events in society, we should think about these people and the things that they faced. You know, with the events of the past week, the writer here could just as easily have got up here and much more eloquently gave this exact message before the congregation today. And it would be very appropriate to look at it and think, you know, you had these different people that dealt with these different situations, but through faith they dealt with it and they made it through and God took care of them. He could just as easily be giving this speech, or delivering this message today, couldn't he? To comfort people. Funny thing about humans. For some reason, when they think it's been done before, even if it's happened to them, somehow it makes it feel better. We're like that, aren't we? Things in my life are terrible. Well, it happened to somebody else. Well, maybe I can make it. We're like that, aren't we? Somehow that's comforting to know that someone else has dealt with it. And these examples here dealt with much more, much worse than what we've seen so far. Take comfort in that and know that God's there with these people and He'll be here with us. Continue in chapter 12 of Hebrews. Verses 1 through 3, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." He understood we could become discouraged at times. And he said, "Consider Christ, which endured the cross for us and who suffered that we might have hope." Can you imagine that? Looking around at the things that we see in the world and thinking about how bad they are. And then thinking, well, I'm going to have to be crucified for that. You ever thought of it that way? The things that we see, maybe the things that we do. To have to face a crucifixion because of those things. For all the evil that's in the world. And we know how unjust that was because Christ knew not sin. There was no sin within Him. He had to die because of the sins of the world. And that includes my sins and it includes yours. He had to do that. And that's what this writer's saying here. He endured the cross for these things. We may have to deal with them a little, but we won't have to deal with that. We won't be faced with that type of thing. The last part of verse 3 is the point I want to make this morning. If we never consider the good put in our lives, then we'll be wearied and faint. Consider verses like Romans 8 and 31. "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" He gave that sacrifice for us. He'll be with us if we choose to serve Him. Matthew 10 and verse 28, it says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." You know, those that fled just so that they could serve God. You think they didn't live this in their lives? They didn't fear those people. They dwelled in caves so that they could serve God. They lived this in their lives. They didn't fear the people. They feared God. You know, we've read these verses a number of times. Would they mean more to us living today than the people we read about in Hebrews 11? You think those verses would have been valuable to them? You think they would have taken comfort in those verses? I think they would. I think that for them to read and understand that there's been people that dealt with all of these different things. And when people chose to serve God and chose to follow Him, God cared for them and He took care of them. I think they'd find great comfort in those passages. I won't stand up here and say we don't see things that we don't like. I won't say that those things don't exist. I can't do that. You know they exist. But for us to think that no one's ever had to deal with anything so bad as we do today, that's just not true. They have dealt with it. And they dealt with it successfully by trusting in God. The last verse I want to look at before we close is 1 Peter 3, verses 12 through 15. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if you be followers of that which is good? But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know, we read that and we think about that. And that's a very comforting passage. Certainly it is. And when we think of that, it does give us comfort. But as we think about that, we have to think. We want a better place than this, don't we? And we think, well, if we could just have a place where none of these things existed and everybody just thought the way that God wanted them to and everybody strived to serve God, that'd be great, wouldn't it? There is a place. It's called heaven. And that's why we're all here. Because that is the ultimate goal for us, to serve God and ultimately be in heaven with Him. And only then, when we reach that place, will we have a place that's solely focused on God. The events of the world are in God's hands, and I think we read that here. And all we can do is work toward that final goal when we have left this place. Think about the tools we've been given. God gave His Son that we could have hope. That we wouldn't have to answer for the sins in our lives. That we could serve Him and we could be forgiven of those things. Let's focus on that and know that certainly we've all had sin in our lives. But we have hope because of Jesus. And no matter what's going on in this world, no matter what happens with our government, no matter what happens with any of this stuff, God is ultimately in control and He will have final say. Take comfort in that. Move forward from here. Keep your heads up and let's move forward. We can't go back. We can't have it the way it was. Let's move forward. And that's how we should deal with everything that happens in this life. Sure, we pause, we think about these things, but we should move forward, not backward. And we'll have to understand that only through God can we overcome.